I think where a lot of guys have an issue with starting a business is they think that they need thousands and thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars to start a business. And it's just not true. I mean, you can bootstrap every business. And I've been on panels arguing with people that says you can't do that. And I'm like, listen, I'm bootstrapping a medical device company right now. And so you can't tell me you can't do it with every business. You know, it's not going to be as fast, but I also don't want to just go out there and go raise a bunch of capital and get rid of equity that for no reason, if, you know, it's not the right partner or whatever that might come up. I'm okay with letting it take a little bit longer to get it right.
We're on a mission. We're going to find and uncover the smartest, most successful entrepreneurs on the planet, explore their highs, their lows, and how they ultimately mastered the game. I'm Martin Cook, and I'm excited to welcome you to the Smarter Destiny podcast. I'm grateful for you and your time. Now let's level up together.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another Smart Destiny podcast, where this time we have my friend Sean Mattson on the show. Sean is a former Navy SEAL who served for 13 years before switching up and deciding to try his hand at the amazing challenges of online business, specifically e-commerce. He founded Mapbox, which is an eight-figure revenue company in the military space. It creates military equipment for the military and for consumers who need those kind of pieces of equipment in their life. Night vision goggles and stuff. We'll get into the why behind that, right? We'll dig out the weirdos of the stories or something there. I'm sure there's something fun to explore. In addition to that, like that isn't enough, Sean has also recently co-founded CardoMax. CardoMax is a clean energy in liquid form supplements. So they create supplements out of clean ingredients and give them to you in liquid form, which of course is the best form to consume your supplements. He and his products have won countless awards, and he's been named one of America's top entrepreneurs. He used to be a Navy SEAL. So, I mean, Sean's a badass in by any definition, right? So I think it's suitable. I think that introduction is fairly fitting. It might not have done him justice. We will find out. But Sean, welcome to the show. How are you?
Appreciate it. Yeah, thanks. It definitely did justice. It was way over. I appreciate all the kind words, but you know, it's I love it. It's just one of those things that, you know, I think probably all of us entrepreneurs, just, you know, as we grew up, we're just kind of always figuring out how to tinker with things and break things and build them. And I always loved doing it growing up. So, you know, now it's just fun to do it and then make some money off of it too. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Like big boy leagues now and crushing them by all accounts. Okay. So the way we like to kick off this show is we like to go back to a point in your past, which serves as a kicking off point for your entrepreneurial journey. Sometimes there's a point of struggle. Sometimes there's some sort of transition. Have you got a time in mind? And if so, could you take us back to that time and paint us a word picture?
Sure. So 2005, graduated from Virginia Military Institute with a civil engineering degree, went right into SEAL training, made it through. My business partner, Zach, he and I were in the same class. So I'll say we a couple times like that. And that's who I'm referring to, because all my business ventures are with my you know, good friend, Zach. And so we started off with 140-ish people in our class, and we ended up graduating 19. So that's how hard, you know, that first 6 months is of Bud's training, going through SEAL training. And that's typical. But we were in the process of going through advanced training in 2006. And we were flying from San Diego to Alaska on the back of a C-130, a big military cargo plane. And we were, you know, now at this point, we had a couple of people join our class and some others that got rolled back. And there's about 40 of us. And we're building this cargo pallet with all of our gear and equipment to fly up to Alaska on this 8-hour flight. And it took us hours to figure out how to load this pallet and then strap it all down. And he and I both looked at each other like, this is ridiculous. Like, why is there not a better system out there? And so for the entire 8-hour flight, we're yelling and screaming at each other behind on the airplane and in the cargo area. And we're yelling and screaming at each other and we redesigned this cargo net system. And we're still, just as we're getting ready to go into our military career, and, you know, we hadn't deployed yet, we hadn't really done anything yet, we'd still been going through the training pipeline. And so we thought, oh, we'll just sell this idea to someone and make millions of dollars and go on. We found out that cargo net the government buys about $44 million worth of cargo nets every year. And so we're like, oh, we got a cheaper system, a better system, something that lasts longer. So we started getting the patent for it and just never got traction with the company that makes it. The company that makes it has been making those same cargo nets since World War II. And we're like, there's just got to be a better way. Like, why can't we get this to them? And but nobody wants a cargo net. Like, they want the new shirt or jacket or, you know, plate carrier or goggles or whatever. They don't want a cargo net system. So nobody's writing these deficiency reports in the military to show that. And so as we were kind of going through this and struggling, we were starting to deploy, we were starting to do our workups, and we just noticed the guys that are around us. I mean, we were with some of the most creative people in the world that would, you know, we're always trying to solve problems. You know, there's 16 to 20 guys in a SEAL platoon, and we'd be facing, you know, a couple hundred people sometimes, or these very complex problems. And guys would just sit there and just like brainstorm these new ideas. And so we said, there's got to be a way that we could take what they've got and apply it to what we're already doing in business and create these innovative products. And so we built that roadmap, basically that bridge, to take these ideas from the guys on the ground and bring them into the military. And so all by just kind of figuring out on our own with that one cargo net system, which unfortunately 10 years in business and we've only sold one of them. You know, so it's been a huge, basically it's been a huge, you know, disappointment from that respect, but we've brought, I think it's like 125 products now to the market. You know, we've got multiple patents on different things. You know, we've been able to launch a couple other products or companies from that, but, really it started as just like, there's gotta be a way. And when Zach and I developed Mapbox, we knew that we had to come in with, and again, this time, you know, 2007-08 time was really hot and heavy with the military down in Iraq and Afghanistan and all these places like that. And the military space for gear and technology, people were just copycatting everybody else and copycatting. I mean, it was just so many companies starting to do the exact same thing. It's like, okay, we have a plate carrier. And it's like, oh, we make a plate carrier and we make a plate carrier. And so we knew that that's not what we wanted to do. And we knew that there was a way to pull on the experience of the guys that are still on the battlefield and also get new innovative products to the market. And so that's our, you know, what we call paper to production. We help them with their idea, and then we've basically set up a back channel with them where we give them 50% of the royalties back on whatever we sell from that particular product. So we've got always new, fresh ideas. We never have to worry about new engineers coming in or anything like that. We've got fresh ideas always continuing to come in, and we're very selective of what we actually bring to the market from those people, because, you know, we see so many ideas that it's always like, well, which one's the really one that really move the needle and actually, you know, progress, you know, the technologies and advancements of the guys and soldiers.
Beautiful. Okay, so we're talking about Mapbox here, and I mean, you're uniquely positioned. Like, your USP here is clearly, like, you've got tremendous experience, your business partner's got tremendous experience, and then you've got line of contact and communication with guys on the ground living and breathing who can stress test it in the wildest possible way. It's like amazing, like very, very difficult to compete with that as is. So, but it also sounds incredibly specialist, right? So 8 figures, that's a lot of product being sold. Like, who's buying the products?
A lot of special operations communities. So obviously our the SEALs, Air Force, special operations, Rangers, Army SF guys. Actually, it's funny, our worst customer out of all the special operations under SOCOM are the SEALs. It's like we can't even sell to our own brothers. It's like they're the hardest, and I don't know if it's just I don't know. I don't know why it has been, but it's just been the hardest thing to sell to them. You know, we get orders from them, but like, we get better orders from the Army or the Air Force. The Air Force has actually been our best customer across everything. I think a lot of times, though, the Air Force is usually the ones to adapt a little bit quicker, because one, their special operations units are significantly smaller in size of the Army and Navy, but also, you know, it's not $35 million, you know, like when they want something, it's not $35 million. Like if you get a brand new like jet or something like that, it's like, you know, a couple million dollars and they're like, oh yeah, well, go ahead. You guys buy that all day long. Cause it's not, you know, like I said, one of them's not $35 million or $1 billion or whatever like that is some of these jets are now. So, primarily in the special operations, and then, you know, working different contracts from there to gain, you know, just bigger and bigger. You know, we've got some larger units now, 82nd Airborne units and others that get it, but then also globally, you know, we're big in, Canada, special operations, Germany, France, Australia, the UK. Those are some of the others that are just bigger, you know, globally for us as well.
Fantastic. And so is predominantly the purchasing, is it predominantly on like a wholesale basis from the higher ups, from the departments buying their whole, like buying a bunch of them for their whole crew kind of thing? Or is it the individuals going, do you know what, this standard issue shirt just sucks, I'm gonna buy a matte box shirt? Like, is it which kind of scenario is close, or is it both?
So yeah, most of the time, like the first sale happens online, right? So that happens, you know, someone comes to us and says, hey, I'd really want to try this out, or I, you know, want to buy this. And they're using their own money usually to do this. And so we worked out with them. They test it out. They get some initial feedback for things. They what I was talking about earlier, the deficiency report. So they'll draft a deficiency report and then start working its way up. But then, you know, on our side, you know, our sales team and others, we're at these events with them to show them new technologies and new products and maybe even new procedures of how to do something, because we were able to develop a new, like for example, our litter, our medical litter, for example, has multiple products within that one litter. So it's five products. Now I think it's actually seven products now, but it replaces about 10 other individual products, because you can multi-use the poles. So the poles can come out of the medical litter, and then you could put some rungs on them to make a ladder. You could put the poles together and make an extension pole for climbing ships or climbing urban areas. But all this, we save a bunch of weight. So showing this fundamental change of how the guys can spread load their gear across everybody, it takes a little bit of, you know, like once you show someone, they're like, oh yeah, I get it. But it's hard to show that over, you know, a video or just online or anything like that until you physically hold all the products in your hand and you're like, oh my gosh, this is half the weight of those 10 products that I'm carrying right now. Like, yes, I want this, you know? And so it's a little bit of both, but it starts with the individual usually, and then it kind of goes to like a platoon size and then team size and then, you know, a unit size orders from there. But then once it gets to those hires, then it's more on a wholesale contracting model. So setting up different contract vehicles with the government.
Fantastic. I mean, to me, that's so interesting. And so we talk about on this show, the Smart Destiny brand in general, we talk about enlightened entrepreneurs, right? And enlightened entrepreneurs, one of the pillars of being an enlightened entrepreneur is that innovation, right? Is that figuring out a more efficient way to do things, a better way to do things, right? And I love that you're creating these innovative new products that just kick the ass out of the old thing. Like you said, the cargo net that has been used since World War One or World War Two is like, right, you're also not carrying around bayonets and typing on typewriters, right? Right? Why is stuff not evolving? So I love that you're like, well, it doesn't seem to be evolving quickly. I'm gonna just do this myself. Now, you're obviously no stranger to new brands, having just launched one, and you've launched, did you say hundreds? Was it over 100 products under
MapBox? On MapBox, we have over 125 products right now. Going back one thing on the you know, innovative part of it, right? So I give it one quick example of one. So I was actually on a mission where I was just completely task saturated. I had multiple forms of communication. So I had like one guy yelling at me here, another guy yelling at me here, and then I had a handset jammed up underneath my other ear. So I literally was talking to three different people on this particular operation. We'd just gotten a contact. I was working on the guy that was shot because we didn't have enough guys. Our it's a longer story, but our partner force basically just melted in front of our eyes. They just went away and they just like put up their guns, and we're sitting here and the bad guys are right there. And we're like, man, this is not a good, a good position to be in. Like, what if our partner force turns on us? And so my guys quickly started, taking bigger areas of security for us, which left me having to deal with my boss and the guy that we had just shot, and trying to deal all with all this stuff and make sure the guys wouldn't come, maneuver on us. And afterwards, we carried the guy to the helicopter in a rug and piece of a chain link fence. And I'm carrying this guy with a couple other guys, and we get him onto the helicopter and go. And then I take my headset off once we get on the helicopter and we're flying away. And I'm sitting here going, we carry this bag with us, and think of like an envelope where it has an opening at the top. And we carry this with us to put computers and documents and what's called sensitive site exploitation, so SSE, into these bags. And they're really lightweight parachute material. And I was like, why can't we just take it and put a zipper down one end and down the bottom? And then when you open it up, it creates that litter, that stretcher. And it just had it in my head. And I called my business partner that morning. It was like, 4 a.m. in the morning. It was, pretty early back here. So he was up, but he was just like, dude, that is a genius idea. And like started working on the prototype, got it. And that's been one of our best products, because it's just, it made sense, and it replaced so many other things that we were carrying that the guys get it immediately when they touch it and they feel it. And they're like, oh my gosh, this is an awesome bag. And they're like, holy cow, this zips open and opens up to this. So just that creative, innovative piece of it. And that's, some of those ideas that, the 125, that some of them have been myself and Zach, some of them have been me, some of them have been Zach, some of them have been from other people, but, just consistently just looking at how to reshape and ultimately, our motto is lighter, faster warriors. So we know if we can get the guy to be lighter, he's obviously going to be faster, and we're going to bring him home too.
Brilliant. So I guess my question with that is, you must have some kind of pretty robust system now, right? Because innovating, creating like beta testing, like all of that side of things, like creating a new product takes time. Even the simple products, it takes time, right, to design. And then you've got this added pressure where you're like, fuck, if this product fails, that it could literally be life and death in this instance. It's not like electric toothbrush where it runs out of battery, right? Like, oh no, my teeth will be slightly less clean because I'm doing it manually, right? Like if a stretcher failed, right, using your example, and like ripped a hole in it, it fell through, right, that could do some serious damage to someone that's already pretty seriously damaged, right? So could you tell us a little bit about your process for how you can get these products through from idea to like reality, like systematically or quickly, whatever it is?
So definitely not quickly, right? Like you said, there's a lot of, so.
So how long does it take?
It depends on the product, and it depends on how far or what kind of stage the product is at when someone has brought it to us or when we've kind of created. So on our sales team, our head of sales is a retired master chief. He did 28 years in the SEAL teams, has, way more experience than Zach and I do on deployments and everything, and is our first line of defense really right now. So we hired him a few years ago. One, he's got that creative mind. He actually came to us with an idea, and we're like, listen, Jim, like he had this idea for a belt, and we're like, man, listen, we've seen so many belts and so many things, like, no disrespect, like, we absolutely like respect you as a person, as an operator, but like, we don't want to hear about your stupid belt. And he was like, just give me 10 minutes. And sure enough, like, we both left there and we were just like, God, that is a genius idea. Like, he really did a great job with it. And so we're like, we got to hire this guy. Like, he is exactly who we need to be that first line of defense for us, because we are getting so many ideas. And so he's our head of our, he's a director of our sales team. And so they're constantly like, they're out there showing the stuff, and inevitably they're like, hey, if you did this. And so it is a lot of conversation between kind of the three of us and others there, and some of our sewers and others, to just kind of see like, hey, what do we think of this? And then ultimately looking at, you know, is the customer willing to pay for some of the development if they want it, right? If they want it bad enough, like, hey, are you guys willing to help pay for some of the development of this? So we've gotten to the point now where we can go back and say, yeah, we're willing to make, you know, 4 or 5 or 10 of these things for you guys, but it's going to cost you this much money to do that, you know, which is significantly more than if we were to actually make it in production. But you know, typically the customer comes back and says, yes, we're willing to do that. And they're willing to help pay for some of that development now, because we've made that mark in the industry that they know what we're going to make is quality. What our material that we were able to develop, Zach actually developed this material about 5 years ago. And it's funny because nobody's using it, and it's half the weight of everything else out on the market. And now just some others are starting to kind of pick up on it, but now they have to buy it from us because it's our fabric. So, you know, we love that cycle go through. So in terms of like a detailed system, I really wish I could tell you it's like, hey, we go through A and then we go through B, and we do have that. It's just, it every time we go through it, it changes. Cause it's like, you know, we build a prototype here in Virginia Beach. We send it back to them, get them to test it, get their feedback, bring it back, either make a modification or not. And then once we've made, you know, once it's ready for market, then it goes to market, right? But it is that iterative testing with those units to do this. So, you know, that's really the process. It's not like, you know, some great, crazy, like methodical, like you got to have step A and then step B. Really it's relying on the customer, our customer, to test it, give us that feedback. But also we know a lot of things in terms of manufacturing that they don't understand necessarily. So we're constantly going back and forth with them of like, hey, look, if we take this out and we switch this out, you know, we can actually save more weight and give you guys more function. And then, you know, so it's just that understanding the manufacturing process. And that's what we need for our sewers. And we have a dedicated prototyper that's all she does is prototyping. So using her, our experience on the ground, Jim's experience on the ground, and then just kind of having this kind of round table to make sure the guys are getting exactly what they're supposed to be, or what they're getting is exactly what they've asked for. You know, we just started in the last 8 months or so incorporating our graphic designers in that as well, so they can see a 3D model of it and rendering of the item even before we make it, just to make sure, like, you know, buckles are in the right spot and, you know, all these little things are kind of taken care of before we actually make a prototype.
Beautiful. And so, and also incredibly full on, right? I mean, and there's a lot of love and care and attention going in there, many, many brains all together to produce an amazing thing. And for most people, that would be enough. But you decided that you want to launch another product, right? So we're talking about, so that was Matt Bock. We're talking about CardoMax now. So in the introduction, I talked about CardoMax being a liquid supplement company that uses clean ingredients. Why? I mean, like, you had enough going on. Like, you know, I mean, either you don't sleep or there was some sort of itch, major itch that you wanted to scratch. How did that come about? And you launched about a month ago, right?
Yeah, so we just started shipping a month ago. So really, I mean, I and Zach, we love products that we can get primarily first to the military guys, and then obviously broader from there. You know, CardoMax is one that we know the military will and can buy. You know, our play right now is direct to consumer. Obviously, it's the easier path to market. Gain some more traction, also allow the military to go through their testing that they need to do for nutritional and everything, or supplemental products and stuff. But ultimately, when you look at it, what we have found in our not only research, but in our own personal lives, I mean, your body is 60% plus of water. Why would you not put something as a supplement in it that is also a water? And then, so when we look at ingredients of that, we took you know, artificial coloring out. It doesn't need artificial coloring. Like, you know, I don't need something to be purple to taste like grape. Or, you know, like our immune booster, for example, uses three ingredients that are what are known as adaptogens. And so they help your body fight stresses. Anytime your body is raising their level of stress, these adaptogens help your body fight those. So the three main ingredients that we have in there, when they're herbs and when you mix them all together, it looks just like this brownish color, and then you mix it into 20 ounces of water and it looks like piss, you know? And it's like, man, I don't know. Like, you know, but like I had a guy yesterday message me and he was like, dude, I am not getting paid to say this. This is the best, you know, watermelon supplement, watermelon flavor I've ever had in my entire life. And he was like, yeah, I know it doesn't look good, but I'm telling you, this stuff is phenomenal. And I was just like, you know, we talked about it a little bit. I was like, hey man, it's just because your body doesn't need something else to break down. You know, when we looked at the amount of ingredients, we want to make sure we hit the levels that you need for it to be optimal and you get your optimal performance out of whatever that ingredient is, as well as not adding ingredients that you don't need. You know, when, you know, people have asked us, you know, hey, I wish you would have added more vitamin C to that, right? Why? Your body can only consume 100% of it. That's what you have, right? Like anything else, you're just going to pee out. So it doesn't make sense for your body to just have all this extra stuff in it that you can't do anything with. And so that was the methodology behind for us. And nobody in the supplement space is doing liquids. You know, most people are doing tubs and big bulky things, but we know, and you know, having traveled all over the world, and you know, when I was still active, I was traveling anywhere from 250 to 290 days out of the year. I was constantly living out of bag, and it'd be nice to, well, now you have the ability to grab these, put a whole bunch in your bag, your carry on, because you could fly with them because they're under the 3 ounce limit and everything. You can fly with them and not have to worry about it, you know? And so you can, the energy, for example, is, you know, caffeine, BCAAs, B vitamins. So you could take it as a pre-workout. You could take it as just a daily energy, you know, supplement that you need. If like 2 o'clock comes, and you don't want to have a crash, you could throw that in some bottle of water, but it stays clear when you pour it in there. And again, it's just less ingredients, more of the things that are good for you. And, just ultimately a better product, we feel like, than kind of what else is out there on the market.
Beautiful. Okay, so where can people, we're about to switch up the podcast and go into the next section, but this at this point, where can people find out more about you and what you're doing?
So for me, I'm at Sean, S-E-A-N dot Matson, M-A-T-S-O-N. That's kind of on all my socials, Instagram, Facebook, others. Primarily more active on Instagram than anything. And then, you know, Cardomax is, CardoMax, and then Mattbox, MatBock. So those are kind of the three areas you can get. If you come to me, you can find them all on my profile and get to them from there.
Fantastic. All right. Okay. So at this point in the show, we like to go into the rapid fire question round. I ask the questions quickly. You can dilly dally, you can dawdle, or you can answer them quickly right back. Are you up for that, Sean?
I am. Yep. Yep. Sounds good.
Are you two thumbs up for that?
Yep. Two thumbs. Let's go.
There they are. There's those thumbs. Right. Let me ready the questions. Okay. Question one. If you ever had to start again, how would you make your money?
Well, I had just had to start again, actually. I had a energy drink company from 2016 to last year, no longer part of that, and literally starting over. So there it is.
Doom, set more of the same. Stick to what you get at. Reload. All right. What's the most common or biggest mistake you see leaders making?
Not taking action.
So what might be some signs of not taking action for those who are like, hey, that might be me?
Well, they just continually look at analysis paralysis, and they want to get this perfect thing, and they want to do it like exactly right. And the thing is every brand, every product I've ever done, it's always evolved. It's what we're doing now is not what we were doing 3 months ago or a year ago. And so if you look at, and if you try to make it perfect, it's too late. And one, you're probably never going to get to perfect either in your own mind, because I know for me and Zach, we always look at, okay, is it 80% there? Yes. Okay, go. You know, that's good enough for us, because once customers, everything has input to it. So you launch a new product, right? You know, for example, Cardamax, we just launched in January. We're getting tremendous amount of feedback from people right now. Like, hey, we really love this flavor. Hey, this one still kind of needs a little bit of work. You know, we all thought they were good enough to go to the market, right? Now we're getting some feedback. One of our flavors isn't exactly one. And honestly, it was probably our least favorite flavor of all six of them. Okay, well, great. So that matched what we thought, but it was still good enough to go to the market. And we knew that the ingredients and everything was there to make the difference. We just make some adjustments there. Everybody understands that, and they know that that's evolving. Plus, it also is a nice selling point. Hey, reformulate it, blah, 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 blah. Now gives you another reason to go attract more customers.
Love that. Okay, question three. Who is a great leader, whether alive or dead, and why?
Ooh, great leader. You know, I have to say, someone who knows leadership and just the principles and philosophies, Jocko Willink. I love, you know, kind of seeing his stuff is, I think in terms of the philosophy of leadership and everything else like that, I don't think there's a better person right now in out there speaking about leadership than Jocko.
Nice. How do you hire top talent?
In the process of hiring a guy right now for Mapbox, actually. And, you know, honestly, you know, I don't think we were really difficult through our hiring process, but you know, we do ask some tough questions on some things. You know, I mean, one of the questions that I asked all the people that got to round two was, you know, it, in two sentences or less, what would your tombstone say? And it was really interesting to hear their feedback from that, right? Because mine is work, working out, and family. So those are my three things. Like, I want my work to make an impact. I want my working out to inspire someone else. And I want my ability to teach my kids and my family to just be the best part that they can be for them. So that's, you know.
Love that. How do you evaluate a good business deal?
Well, I've definitely had bad business deals, so not doing the bad business deals. No, the good business deals. You know, I think ultimately it falls, like, for example, those three things for me, work, working out. Does it make an impact on something? Then you know, okay, that checks one box. You know, I'm all about fitness. I'm about ready to go try to set a world record and at the beginning of April while wearing an EOD bomb suit. So I love to work out. You know, family is a big part of my life as well. And I fail at being a dad and a husband all the time. But like, if I know that it fits within those things and it's going to help, you know, I want to dig deeper into that business and see if it's something that I want to do. You know, if it has anything to do with the military, veterans, law enforcement, first responders, you know, kind of those, I resonate with them just because of coming from kind of that similar background. So anything in that space, I like to look at.
Nice. And then how do you identify a good business partner?
So Zach and I have a really interesting, so we're 50-50 on everything. And people are like, how do you handle a disagreement? Well, easily, like we talk through it. We go back and forth on it. And ultimately, if Zach is passionate about something so much and I'm like, nope, this is dumb, whatever, then that person then is in charge of taking the responsibilities and growing it or not. And then the succeeds or fails on his shoulders. Now that doesn't mean that I'm not going to help out or do anything with it, but ultimately they're the person that has to put in the work on the day to day to make it successful. You know, so, and I think a lot of times when we are able to have those disagreements, it actually makes the product or company better because they start to see kind of, all right, maybe it wasn't as good of an idea, or hey, maybe I do need to make some modifications to that. So, that to me, you know, being able to accept the constructive criticism and understand that it's not that I hate you, right? Or hate the thing or whatever it is. It's just, I'm trying to give constructive criticism and also make us have a better product at the end. And I might see something that you might not, and vice versa.
Great answer. What is one of your proudest moments?
Understanding that after when kind of my childhood dream of being a SEAL was it was no longer going to happen because I was going through a really nasty divorce. And, you know, I just come to the realization and kind of God said, hey, listen, yeah, you got to do this. You got to enjoy this life. But, you know, you need to be a dad and you need to teach your kids how to be, grown-ups when they get there. So really just making that mental shift in my head that, you know, I can't go do that lifestyle anymore. And I need to transition out of that and, you know, become an entrepreneur full-time, and which has been great because, you know, I get to go, you know, I try to hyper-focus on things when I'm time managing things. So I hyper-focus on it. If it's, you know, time with my kids and they're like, hey, let's go throw the ball. I go throw the ball with my kids and I come back and then I hyper-focus on work. And then if it's something else, you know, so I don't try to balance it because there's no such thing as balance. But for me, I use, again, just work, working out and family. If it fits into those, I will drop whatever I have to do to go spend time or do if that time is required.
Nice. What's one interesting fact about you that not many people might know?
I'm dyslexic. I grew up with a lot of learning disabilities, growing up in different extra classes and other things like that. So I have a really hard time at reading and dyslexic.
You'd be surprised just how many entrepreneurs are dyslexic. My business partner with Nubru, dyslexic. She's one of the smartest people I know, right? Dyslexic. And there's a lot of similarities actually between entrepreneurs and a lot of sort of things that you're diagnosed as illnesses or diseases, you know, like ADHD, for example. Like, you know, there's definitely an increasing awareness that, like, hey, if your child seems to have ADHD, they could be the next Elon Musk, right? Like, it's not a bad thing, you know?
No, we always made the joke in the SEAL teams, like, you know, because the SEALs would always spend, you know, millions of dollars every year on, like, finding, you know, the right candidate to go through SEAL training, because, you know, again, like I said, it's, you know, 80-90% failure. So you know, we always said, look, just make sure they can PT and they have to be slightly ADHD, right? Because it's like, oh man, this really sucks. And it's like, oh look, butterfly. Oh man, this really sucks. Like, oh gosh, look at that. You know, it's like I could never stay focused long enough for it to suck that bad. It was just like, I'm gonna move on to something else.
Perfect. Awesome. What daily routines do you have, whether it's morning or evening, that have helped make you successful?
So it's funny. I have to work out. I try to work out most days, if not every day. You know, but in terms of like a strict routine, I really don't have one. And the reason is because, and I heard someone say this the other day, and I'm going to steal it from him. He said, listen, if you do exactly what Tony Robbins does every single day, like he takes a cold shower, he reads this many books and he does this and this and this, it's not going to make you Tony Robbins. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly right. Cause you know, but I think there is, and again, for me, what works is because I am slightly ADHD and, you know, I have these, like I'm focused on, I have so many different companies and so much going on. I'm never going to get through everything every single day. So what I try to do is I make a list, and there's usually less than three things on that list that I have to accomplish for me to be like, yep, that's a good day. And I keep it simple because ultimately I know I'm going to do more than that, but ultimately those are the three things that I have to do for that day to be successful. And I try to keep it simple. I don't try to do these crazy, like you gotta read this many pages. You gotta do this. You gotta do this. I've done some of those in the past and they obviously do work well for people. But I don't need that. I don't need a hype guy. I don't need, you know, all this other stuff. Like, I'm going to be successful and I don't need, you know, a hype to get there. Like, it just doesn't do anything for me.
Beautiful. What book or books changed your mindset or life?
Again, I don't really read. I listen to Audible books. But really, honestly, it wasn't a book or anything. It was really watching my mom growing up. My mom was a single mom, and watching her and her work ethic. You know, it was completely, I mean, there was times where my mom was never around because she was working just to make sure we had food and things like that. Now, you know, didn't live in we weren't poor or anything like that, but I know that, I mean, she worked a lot just to make sure that, you know, we had a roof and everything else like that, you know, over our, you know, we weren't crazy rich either, but, you know, that helped, really shape my mindset that, you know, I could do anything. I think, you know, just adversity from growing up, people telling me, hey, you can't do something. I'm like, oh, I'll show you, watch this. I'm going to go do it. You know, like I said, at the age of 12, I started telling people I was going to be a SEAL, and I got plenty of people to tell me, hey, you can't do it. But I also had plenty of people that says, you know, if anyone's going to do it, Sean, you're going to do it. You know? So, I just don't listen to either side, and I go do it for me.
What's the most exciting question you spend your time thinking about?
Really, it's how my kids. I really look at like what my kids, and you know, are they going to want to run the business? You know, like how are they going to go? Like, I really enjoy and just kind of thinking about the future of that. You know, my daughter's 11. And a few years ago, her and her friends, like, she was like, hey, Dad, can I take some of the rocks from the driveway? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then, like, 20 minutes later, she came back in. And she was like, hey, Dad, I made, like, $37. I was like, doing what? She was like, I sold the rocks. I was like, you sold our rocks from our driveway? And she was like, yeah, I painted them and took them around to the neighbors and sold them. I was like, well, that you know, that apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Like, perfect. Good job.
Yeah, good job. Like, well, I can get you a bunch more rocks and we'll turn this into a business. What advice would you give your younger self?
Just keep staying focused and keep driving forward. You know, don't look back. Keep driving forward. Learn from setbacks and things like that. But ultimately, you got to keep driving forward.
Speaking of setbacks, what was your biggest challenge starting a business and how did you overcome it?
Honestly, like right now, our biggest challenge is the amount of work that we have. You know, I've always been told more businesses choke on their own success than starve. And we're having that problem right now. We've got millions of dollars worth of backlog right now and, you know, a lead time that is just way outside of what we want it to be. And so it's struggling to solve that right now. And which is why we're hiring someone to come in to help us and, you know, a lot of things. But right now, I mean, that's one thing it's extremely challenging. But, you know, in terms of starting, just starting the business, I think it really wasn't a struggle for us, but I think where a lot of guys have an issue with starting a business is they think that they need thousands and thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars to start a business. And it's just not true. I mean, you can bootstrap every business. And I've been on panels arguing with people that says you can't do that. And I'm like, listen, I'm bootstrapping a medical device company right now. And so you can't tell me you can't do it with every business. You know, it's not going to be as fast, but I also don't want to just go out there and go raise a bunch of capital and get rid of equity that for no reason, if, you know, it's not the right partner or whatever that might come up. I'm okay with letting it take a little bit longer to get it right. Right. And ultimately for us, again, I want the success and failure of whatever company to fall on our shoulders than someone else's shoulders. And so I'm willing to let that have a little bit more time to go.
What unusual or underrated food or drink should more people try out?
Water. I guess, you know, when you go back to like something I do try every morning, to drink a glass of water, at least 20 ounces before I drink coffee. I don't do it every morning. I try to though, but it's just something that, I feel like does help me just wake up, get moving again. You know, 60% of your body's water. You've been sleeping all night. You've probably been sweating and all these other things that you don't know you do. So why wouldn't you introduce, you know, the hydration method right back into your body right when you wake up rather than coffee that dehydrates you?
100% agree. And you know, there's plenty of people that say, oh, you know, I've set myself a goal of 3 liters or, you know, whatever it is, right? Like to drink a bunch of water. And it's like, well, yeah, give yourself a head start. Do it first. You're really thirsty when you wake up. So, you know, you're going to like it. It's going to help.
It's honestly, it really is. It's so easy. The first thing in the morning, like before I even take my dog for a walk or anything like that, or go do anything, like I will, I'll take, you know, like I said, usually it's closer to 32 ounces of water, but this, it's so easy to take that down right then. Cause I mean, you're really empty. So you could just get that in and there you go. You're already starting off a good part with that.
Nice. And then final question, Sean, what makes you happiest?
Really, again, I go back to my three, you know, for me, it's my work. I love doing what I do at my work. You know, I really don't even feel like it's work. You know, I don't dread going to work. There's always something new. I love working out. I love my family and spending time with them and those things. I mean, those three things are what, again, I would say, it's not only what makes me happy, it's what I want to be remembered for. It's everything. You know, if anybody ever remembers me because I like the New York Giants as a football team, like I feel like that's a failure, you know, in my own life. That's my own personal goal, is nobody should know my favorite sports teams. Like I just, because it's not a passion of mine. It's not what I think moves us to be better humans and ultimately helps make an impact in the world.
Beautiful. What a great answer. Sean, that brings us to the end of the show. At this point, I'd like to ask you, do you have any asks or requests of the audience listening today?
No, I just, again, if you want to reach out to me, if you have any questions or anything like that on mindset or anything, you know, obviously I've been through some pretty rigorous training and, you know, I'm not going to try to sell you a book or a tape when I'll give you straight up how it is, or even just starting a business. I know we didn't get into it too much, but, you know, I love talking through things with people, just trying to help solve problems. But again, it's just at Sean.Mattson.
Beautiful. Well, Sean, thank you so much for taking the time today. I love that you're a guy that has found his lane. You're a master of your lane, right? And what I mean is the military space, right? You've lived and breathed it, and now you're making businesses and you're moving that area forward, like obsessively. You're working to say, how can this be done better? How can this be done better? And you know, at one point in time, everybody was using typewriters and someone said, how can this be done better, right? Like, and as with any great thing. And so the world needs more people like you. Keep doing what you're doing. It's been tremendously fascinating to learn about your processes, your decision-making, and what you're putting out there. So guys and girls, mattbock.com and cardomax.com are the two websites that Sean runs, and you can find him at sean.mattson across all of the socials. But Sean, yep, Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Yeah, thank you again. Appreciate the time.
Hey there, you incredibly good-looking human. Thanks so much for listening. If you had a good time today and would like more good times in the future, please hit that subscribe button and leave a heartwarming review. I read them all and it will go a long way to help others out there benefit from all the teachings of this show. And if you want to get in touch or otherwise learn more about me, head to martincook.co.uk or smarterdestiny.com. I really appreciate you. You're an incredible human. Until next time, keep crushing.